But here we have God's treasure chest of promises, and we have some items in here that represent some of the promises that God gives to us. Now, we know that there's a bunch of them in the Word of God, but we've been talking about some in particular. The first promise that we looked at is represented by these handcuffs, okay? Now, I know that handcuffs can represent have a negative connotation, but in this case, it's all positive. It's all positive. Can someone tell me what these handcuffs represent as far as God and His promises? He will never, ever, 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 ever. I could put some more evers in there if you want me to. He'll never leave us. He'll never leave us. So when we get saved, if you will, we're like handcuffed to God in a good way. And He takes the keys and He throws them away, right? I almost couldn't find those last week when I threw them. Threw them a little bit more convenient to see. But because once you're truly saved, you're saved forever, right? And God is a constant companion. And right now we can't see Him, but He's right here. We can't see Him, but He lives inside of you if you know Jesus in the form of the Holy Ghost, right? I'm thankful for that. And someday we'll see Him face to face and we'll live with Him. You know, a big part of that passage in Revelation 21 is that God will be there with us, right? What a blessing. So that was promise number one that we looked at. Promise number two was represented by this. Can someone tell me what this represents as far as God's promises to us? That's right. God wants us to be more and more, that's therefore I have a picture frame, more and more conformed to the image of Jesus, right? Now, even the little bigger picture than that is God is constantly working on us. I'm glad He's working on me. There's a Southern gospel song that I like that Heartland does, Glory Bound, that quartet from Glory Bound, Heartland out in Oklahoma City. I love their music. And it says that basically He didn't leave me the way that I was. He doesn't leave you the way that you are. If you let Him, He continues, if you will, like a sculptor with a chisel, just knocking off all the stuff that doesn't belong and makes us more and more in the image or the sculpture, if you will, of Jesus, right? And we looked at the Romans 8 passage and how that the Holy Spirit is working on us, God the Father is working on us, Jesus the Son is working on us, and even life is working on us, because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So God even uses situations in life to make us be more and more conform to the image of Jesus. So He's working on us. Praise the Lord for that. Now this one here, the third promise that we looked at was what? What is it? Without end. Forever life, right? There's no end to this circle. Like I said, we pay top dollar for our props, let me tell you. This is a roll of packing tape, but the point is, like a circle, it doesn't end. So we have forever life. It's not like someday you'll have forever life. You have forever life now. You're not really going to die. If you know Jesus, you're just saying goodbye, earth, hello, heaven and Jesus, right? Forever life, eternal life, everlasting life, forever life. And what a promise that is. I mean, that ought to make every day that we have in this world even better. Because we know this is not all there is. We got heaven to look forward to. And it's forever life. And it's good life. You know, you men that like to fish and hunt, just imagine catching a 6-foot trout. I mean, you're like, wow, right? You say, that's the best day of my life. You hunters, imagine killing a 20-point buck. I mean, we're talking monster buck. You say, wow, what a day. Can I tell you that our forever life, every day is going to be better than that? The one we've been kind of stuck on, pardon the pun with a Band-Aid here, but we've been stuck on this one a little bit, taking our time to go through it. But what does this Band-Aid represent? Okay, what is it? I heard somebody say it. Help! Help! The promise of God's help! You know, that's almost like one of those, I imagine it's an international word. Like Country Roads is an international song. It's probably one of those international words that regardless of what country you'd be in, whether they speak your language or not, I'll bet you if you holler, help, people are going to say, they need help, right? I mean, what happens when you find yourself in a real desperate situation and you got to get it out there quick? What do you say? I think we'd probably say, help, I need your, I'm thankful for God's help. And we've been looking at God's help primarily in the Psalms that mentions about God's help a lot. And then also in the New Testament, what it says about God's help. But boy, can I honestly tell you something? I need God's help. Do you need God's help? So we're looking at God's help. And we'll review a little bit there on God's help. A few things we talked about. 15 times in Psalms, the writer of Psalms calls out for God's help. 15 times that I noticed in particular, using that word help. Hebrews 4:16 talks about going boldly into the throne of grace, right? That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. And there's a lot of times I need his help. And I go to him in prayer saying, Lord, we need your help. So the promise of God's help. First of all, we are welcome to call upon God's help. We looked at that already. You know, it's not a drag to God when you go to him for help. Really? I mean, God up there, I mean, I don't know of a good dad or mom, as we look at human examples, that would begrudge a child coming up to them saying, I need your help. Most of us parents are like, wow, you came to me for help? It actually feels pretty good, right? That my child sees me as a source of help, and I definitely will try to help. Same way in the Christian life, under the promise of God's help, we are, I'd say, more than welcome to call upon God's help. Secondly, we already looked at this one too. Without God's help, we may not still be in this world. Now, there's different passages we looked at. We're not going to look at tonight, but Acts 26, 21, and 22, we find that without the help of God, Paul writes, I wouldn't still be here, essentially. So I'm thankful. And then the psalmist says in Psalm 94:17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence or died. You know, we don't know the things and the ways that God will help us. We don't see the spirit world. We don't see how God sends his angels. We don't see how God, maybe with just a whisk of his hand or a word that's spoken, has protected us and saved us from certain death. But I'm thankful. With the crazy drivers that seem to be getting crazy. Is it me or drivers just getting crazier? I had coming in, you know that construction on Route 50? I had a minivan, no less. I was driving minivan, and they was in a minivan pretty similar, right on my bumper. You know what I'm not going to tell you what I felt like doing. Nothing too bad. You feel like tapping your brakes, don't you? And slowing down even further. I don't think I did that, but I mean, this was ridiculously close falling behind me. So I say that to simply say, we don't know how many times God's help has kept us from leaving this world. But God is the giver and the taker of life, and we can trust that. Then we transitioned. We under the promise of God's help, we looked at we are welcome to call upon God's help. Second, without God's help, we may not be still be in this world. And thirdly, and this is where we are now, what kind of help does God give us? What kind of help does God give us? Now, this is looking at that word help in Scripture. Again, in Psalms and in the New Testament and what it can tell us about it. First of all, we looked at this, and this was in the last part and then also the part before that a little bit. But God gives us personal help. God gives us personal help. Notice in Psalm 27 and verse 9, we had a bunch of verses that talk about my help, my helper, my help, my help. But this one, we're just going to hit it and run. God gives us personal help. Do you know you need help different than I need help? Now, there are some common things we need help with, all of us. But you know, with your background and with your personality and the way God made you, there may be some areas that you may be weaker than someone else. And so you'd say that maybe they need a little more help or need help in this area instead of this area, right? Because sometimes we have our strengths And God's help is such a personal help. He knows you perfectly. I mean, just in Scripture, when he says he knows how many hairs are on my head, that tells you. I mean, 8.5 billion people times the number of hairs on everybody. I mean, just think about that. God keeps track of how many hairs on your head? Wow, that's a big, powerful, all-knowing God. So he definitely knows what kind of help you need. And some people, you know, we go through something, it's like, no problem. Some people go through something like, man, my life is falling apart. What am I going? God knows all about that. And God says, here, this is the help. It's personal help. Psalm 27, verse 9. This is one of several verses we've already looked at about personal help. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been what? My help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. So, I'm thankful that God gives personal help. Now, you don't have to use your handouts tonight if you don't want to. They'll show up here. I know some of you are fumbling through, trying to find the reference and all that. We'll go back to that next week when Ryan's not here, okay? But tonight, if you want to, we'll relax and not have to find the reference. He'll be popping them up, okay? So, God gives personal help. We've already talked about that. Last week, I believe, we started looking at this in particular. God gives not only personal help, but God gives present help. Present help. Just because we can't, I'll say it again. Just because we can't see God doesn't mean God's not there. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it'd be great. I would love sometimes when I'm struggling or discouraged or down or having a bad day to look over there and say, hey, God, how you doing? I mean, wouldn't that be good? But that would be living by sight and not by faith. But by faith, I know God is right there, even if I can't see him. I know that God is right here tonight with us, don't you? And there's nowhere. Remember the passage in, I believe, Romans 8 that talks about there's nowhere that we can hide from God's love? Nowhere. But God gives present help is the point we're looking at. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God gives present help. Notice this passage. Excuse me. Notice verse 1. It says, God is our refuge. That's good news, right? Refuge is somewhere you run when you need help. And strength. And then notice, a very absent help in trouble. No. A very present help in trouble. Now, to be honest, are there times in your life, because I found this in my life, are there times in your life that it seems, now I'm choosing my words very carefully, it seems that God is absent. But just because it seems that God is absent, just because it seems that God doesn't care, that's not the way it is. God always cares and God is always there. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And, you know, I just don't know what the world does without God. I mean, whenever we get down and we have a problem, we know where to go, right? That present help, we go right to him and say, God, I mean, immediately. Sometimes we get bad news. It's usually about church people or good friends that we have, and we hear about a wreck or an accident, and they say, pray. I mean, we'll pause as a family. Ryan will attest to this. We'll just say, okay, Ryan, pray. All right, Jason, pray. Let's just bow and we're going to pray. We just pause right then because we know that God is a present help. He's not some absent basically landlord of the earth that goes way up there and just, you know, we can't get a hold of him. We can't get him to fix the hot water heater. We can't get him to fix the furnace. He is here all the time. And even if we can't sense him and we don't think he cares, trust me, according to God's word, he cares. And he's a very present help in trouble. I don't know, that really cranks my clock a little bit. Does that crank your clock to know that God is there with you all the time? And here the psalmist goes on in that passage, therefore, because he's a present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Now that's kind of hard sometimes not to fear. Y'all agree with that? But we don't have to. The psalmist seems to make up his mind. Therefore, will not we fear? This is big stuff. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Let's pause and think about that for a minute. That's what Selah means. Pause. I think that's the main idea behind it. He's saying because God is a present help, if you start seeing the mountains around you starting to shake, and the water being troubled, and the mountains starting to move a little bit, I don't know about you, I'd be running for something, wouldn't you? I'd be. I don't know. If the mountain's moving, you may not be able to go to higher ground on that mountain, but I'd be trying to do something. But really, the reality of it, because our God is so big and our God is so present, even if we find ourselves in the midst of that, we don't have to be afraid. Wow. I have to admit, that's kind of mind-blowing. I think I'd be afraid. But I don't have to be, because God is a very present help in time of trouble. The promise of God's help. First of all, the types of help that God gives us personal help, first of all. Secondly, God gives us present help. Thirdly, and all these start with P, are you impressed? God gives us persistent help. Not only does he give us personal help, present help, he gives us persistent help. Psalm 27, verses 9 and 10. Persistent help. Notice what it says. It says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been what? My help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now this is the part. I believe we mentioned this. I'm not sure how much we went into it, but we did mention it, I believe, last week too. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know, most of us, now I realize that there's some cases and you could share with us tonight and you say, you know what? I could not count on my mom and dad. They weren't the best mom and dad, or they weren't present, or I was deserted by my dad when I was three years old. I know that those stories are there. And my dad was an alcoholic. My dad did this, you might say. But for a lot of us, when you think of mom and dad, you think of someone who's going to be there, right? I mean, one thing I miss about my mom, you know, she's in heaven now. My mom, she thought I could do anything. I had her fooled. You know, if you wanted someone to pump you up and make you think you could do it, it was my mom. I mean, she had that much confidence in her son. And then when things go wrong, you know, I found, and you probably the same way, when your mom and dad pass, both my mom and dad are both in heaven right now, but they're for a little bit after they pass and something happens in life, you're like, I would call mom and tell her, oh, I can't do that. You know, there's no heavenly hotline that I can talk to. I mean, y'all remember that? I think that's pretty universal. We've done that. Why is that? Why do you want to tell your mom or tell your dad when something big happens? It's because they're there for you, right? They're there for you and you can count upon them. But the psalmist says, now this is big, even when your mom, your dad, your father, and your mother forsake me, he says, then the Lord will take me up. So, I mean, the point is God is always there. It's a persistent help. Isn't that good? You know, I'm glad it's a persistent help because I'm not the perfect son of God. Are you? Child of God is what I'm speaking of. I'm not. And when I fail God, you know, I need to go before God and repent before God. That means change direction and see the things the way God does. And I need to go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? So when we fail God, and we will, it's not an excuse, but we will because we're human, and we should, as we mature in Christ, those failures should become less and less. Y'all agree with that? Not more and more, right? Less and less. But I'm thankful that the God that I have and the God that I serve, he doesn't forsake me. He doesn't say, you're going to be a sinner like that? I'm turning my back on you. You know, God's love, it's tied in with the help. God's love is an unconditional love. That really amazes me. I mean, that's really beyond my comprehension. Now, that's not saying that God doesn't get upset with our sin. But I'm saying he doesn't forsake us. He'll never leave us or forsake us, right? And it says there, you know, when mom and dad say, "You're on your own, Bubba," God says, "No, you're not." I like it when it says, "Well, take me up." I kind of picture that. God says, "Hey, they're not there for you anymore. Boom, I got you. I got you in my arms, and you're good. Everything's good." Isn't that a blessing? To know that God's help is persistent. His love is persistent, and his help is persistent. Now, this, I know sometimes it takes a while to get our brain wrapped around this, but there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. That's amazing, isn't it? And that's not being light on sin, because there's consequences for our sin. And sometimes he breaks out the switch after his kid because we're not listening and we're not obeying what God. So I'm not being light on sin and all, but I'm telling you, God's love is consistent. And that blesses my heart to know that. So tonight, what kind of help does God give us? We've already looked in the past at personal help. It's not one size fits all. It's God knows us well enough to know exactly what we need. And you know, in Philippians chapter 4, when it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know that verse? The context is financial, but I think the application is universal. He'll supply all that we need, right? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, in our relationship, every way, I think. So he's a personal help. He's a present help. We don't ever have to question whether God is with us. We don't ever have to question whether God's help is right there, because it is. And it's a persistent help. Even when mom and dad forsake us, he'll take us up. Boy, what a blessing. We'll cover one more tonight. Fourth, what kind of help does God give us? God gives us powerful help. Powerful help. Several passages. I want you to see, as we read these three different passages, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm just going to read them, okay? I want you to pick out what is common among all three of them, okay? Because we're looking at what kind of help does God give us? God gives us powerful help. I want you to listen. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Notice, see if you can pick out what's common among all these verses. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my," what? "Help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Second passage is Psalm 124, verse 8. It says, "Our help," that's good, right, "is in the name of the Lord." And a lot of times when it says name, it's talking about the character of God. So my help, or our help, is in the character, the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the third passage is Psalm 146, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." You know, when we got the help of God, it ought to make us happy. It says, "Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." All right, now I want to ask you to raise your hand, all right? If you know the answer to the question, what was common among all three passages that we just read, what was common? Now, there may be more than one. I'm sure there is. But what was the thing that tied them all together when we look at God gives us powerful help? Has anybody got the answer to that? McKenna? Okay, that's true. That is true. I'll give that to you. They were all above Psalm 100, 120 actually. Yeah, that's true. Ken? Ding, 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 ding. It was all, it said in every one of those something to the effect, my help is in God who made heaven and earth. Wow. You think about it. I mean, really, some of the problems that we have, they're piddly compared to the creation of the world. Do you know what I mean? It's not like God looks down at us and say, well, why does that upset you? Because it's such a piddly little thing. I don't think God would say something like that. I think God would say, you know what? If it concerns you, it concerns me. And I'm here for you, and I'll take care of it. You just keep leaning upon me. But you know what we need to think about? You know, sometimes we say God can do anything. But then when we have a certain problem, sometimes I call it self-talk. That means we talk to ourselves. Now, if you do it out loud, then you answer yourself. People might come in white suits and take you away. So don't do that. But what we all do, I think, as Christians, is self-talk in our brain. And we remember the preacher said that. You know, he said God's help is there all the time and he can do anything. And we remember the Sunday school teacher saying, yeah, God can do anything. He's an all-powerful God. It's one of the attributes of God. And we remember maybe our parents saying that, maybe our grandparents. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, we got a problem and it's real and it's like right there. Sometimes we let the brain get in gear and we start thinking, I don't know. Can God really handle this? I don't really know if he can or not. Yeah, this is pretty big. Whether it's relationship problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's physical problems that we have, you know, you can fill in the blank with whatever you want to. But let me tell you, the help that God gives is the help that created the world. And if you think about that for a moment, you know, I love my mountains. I love mountains. I love Appalachian mountains, okay? Now, I've seen the Rocky Mountains one time, and they're pretty. Give them their due. They're pretty, aren't they? Aren't they, Bill? Yeah, they're pretty. Living out there in Colorado, they're beautiful and all that. We scared Amy half to death going up Pike's Peak there in Colorado. She's afraid we was going to go over the edge. But it snowed while we were up there, didn't it? It snowed. We were down below and everything was good and we drove up Pike's Peak and it started snowing on the top of the mountain. This was what time of year? I don't remember exactly. It was not a time of year you should see snow, I don't think. I was thinking October. But then we was like, okay, now we're going to drive back in snow and she's going to be really scared. We're just happy to be here, aren't we, Amy? But you know what? I love the mountains around here. And the mountains, I'm a little partial to Southern West Virginia because I'm from Southern West Virginia. But you look at some of those mountains, and Tim spends a lot of time in Charleston. Both of y'all live down there. Bev and Tim live down there in that area. But in some of those mountains you look at, it almost looks like, because you see the mountains and they kind of go like this, and Gwen's from that area, it almost looks like God took his hand and just kind of like, I'm going to make some little ridges there, you know, some little valleys and little, to me, it just looks like God just took it. And guess what? In essence, he did. He made everything that is. So I'm thankful that when I need help, I'm not calling out to somebody that doesn't have a clue. I'm not calling out to somebody. Have you ever called a helpline for a problem maybe that you have, like maybe a computer problem? And by the time you're finished, you think you know more about it than they do. I mean, really, sometimes the help that we seek after is like very incompetent help, right? I can't remember some things here lately that I've dealt with people and I'm like, I ask people in stores, parts stores and things, have you ever done it? Oh, yeah, I've done it. And by the time I come out of the store, Amy, I think I know more about it than they do. That's scary. But when it comes to God's help and the things we need in life, let me tell you, God is a competent help. And God is an all-powerful help. Just look around you. If you ever doubt that in West Virginia, you just need to open your eyes and look at the hills and the mountains, right? I'm thankful for the type of help that God gives. The promise of God's help. We're welcome to call upon God's help. Without God's help, we may not still be in this world. And then we've been looking as of late. What kind of help does God give? It's personal help. It's personal help. So tonight, if you need God's help, God knows all about it. God knows all about what kind of help you need. Now, the real kicker is we've got to reach out to the one that can really help us and be willing to do what he really tells us to do. But I'm thankful that it's personal help. I mean, just, I don't know. This really amazes me that the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me, amen, wants me to spend time reading his word so that he can talk to me through the Holy Spirit and through the word, and wants me to spend time talking to him, telling him what bothers me and what causes problems in my life and where I need his help. And God says, yep, I know all about that because my help is a personal help. Amen. It's a present help. You don't have to. You ever been in a store and you need help trying to find something? I sometimes wonder, I look at Amy and say, I don't think anybody's working here tonight. you ever had that? It's like we don't ever have to do that with God. He's a present help. He's always there. Thirdly, he's a persistent help. Even when mom and dad says, oh, we've had enough. Or even when mom and dad pass and are in heaven, they can't help us anymore. They're not here to give us a hug and to give us encouragement. Tell us, but God says, that's all right. Here, just jump into my arms. Amen. Wow. And lastly, tonight we looked at God gives us powerful help. Powerful help. The same God that made the universe. I mean, go even beyond the mountains and look at the planets. And look at, you know, understand if any of those planets shifted just a little bit, or if the earth would shift just a little, we'd be in a heap of trouble. But God knows all about it because he's a powerful God. So God is such a powerful God, he can definitely help. He definitely has the power. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You know what help you need. You know what you're going through right now. I may not know. I may have a little clue. I may not have a clue about what you're going through. But can I tell you, God knows all about it. Would you just tell God right now and just name what it is you in the area that you need help? And just simply call out to him. If you know Jesus as your Savior, just call out to him as your Heavenly Father. Say, God, I need help in this area. Would you do that? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do promise us your help. And Lord, we thank you for the kind of help that it is, Lord, personal and present and persistent and powerful. And Lord, we thank you that you're that kind of God. Lord, may we stop trying to fix it ourselves, but Lord, just completely turn it over to you. Because you are a God that wants to help us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.